into your tool belt on how to deal with or how to express your emotions in the most, hopefully, loving way. And this is a call-in radio show. So if you have a story that you'd like to share or a, you know, some insight into your own, you know, truths behind emotional regulation, please feel free to give us a call at 895-1114. I also want to give you all a brief review of the Sonica Tinker and Christian Pedersen workshop that was just held last Sunday, October 4th, at the Chico Women's Club. Oh, not Chico Women's Club, sorry. The Yoga Center of Chico. So it was a full house. I mean, there was probably like 40 or so people there. I was impressed. And Sonica and Christian are great presenters in terms of the material that they are sharing. And they definitely did have us do some hands-on activities, using some of the skills that they share and giving us some concrete tips on how to approach our relationships a bit differently. So I highly suggest checking out their work. They can be found at loveworksforyou.com. They also have some really great videos on YouTube, and we're going to listen here to one of their videos shortly, but first we're going to listen to a song that was suggested by one of my roommates called Somebody Who Cares, because it goes so poignantly with emotional regulation, because sometimes we're just looking for somebody to care.
Convincing yourself that there's nobody there. I know how you feel, like somebody has taken the wheels off your car when you had somewhere to go. Well, it's annoying not going to get very far, I know. But somebody cares. There's always someone somewhere you should know by now. Always somebody who cares. It's happening day in, day out. Well, you know by now. Always somebody.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KCFR members and by the Chico Newsroom Review and Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, representing Chico Beer Week 2015, October 8th through 17th. Chico Beer Week will feature breweries, bars, and restaurants hosting tap takeovers, beer food pairing, specialty releases, style nights, beer fests, and more. The Chico Newsroom Review is hosting a kickoff party, Brew Fork, a craft beer and food truck rally on October 8th at Manzanita Place. Visit ChicoBeerWeek.net for information and a calendar of events like Chico Beer Week on Facebook.
I know how you feel, like somebody has taken the wheels off your car when you had somewhere to go. Well, it's frustrating not going to get very far, I know. But somebody cares. There's always someone somewhere you should know by now. Always somebody who cares. It's happening there. Well, you know by now, always somebody who cares. And if you don't know it, how will it find you? How will we know?
All right, this is Love in the 21st Century. My name is Tamara, and I'm interviewing Miss Sky Lee about emotional regulation. And I don't know if any of you are paying very close attention to those lyrics in that song, but he was thinking about taking the wheels off somebody's car. And let me tell you, if somebody took the wheels off my car, I'd be really, really upset. I would not be like just like kind of mopey about it. I'd be like, yeah.
That's a really good segue into how you would respond to that person. Like, what would your outcome be? Would you be able to regulate your emotions so that you could have a, you know, a calm, compassionate conversation? Or would you, like, totally fly off the handle and escalate the situation?
I think I'd fly off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about what is emotional regulation. Like, what is, I mean, when we tend to think of the words regulate, we think, you know, rules and people telling us what to do. So can you give us a brief lowdown on what regulation is, Skye?
Yeah, so when we talk about emotional regulation, we're actually talking about how we control our feelings, which in turn allows us to control our thoughts, which then allows us to control our behaviors. So it's all kind of in a big loop, you know. Most oftentimes, we react emotionally to a situation, which then creates thoughts which can be distorted, maybe not accurate, which then leads to a behavior which can negatively impact your relationships with others.
So what you're saying is that sometimes what we think people are doing, they're not actually doing?
Yeah. You know, emotions are really strong, especially those negative emotions. And so when we run into these negative emotions, sometimes we blow things out of proportion, or maybe we mind read, or maybe we catastrophize situations, and we don't actually think with our heads. We're purely thinking with our hearts, and sometimes you know, our hearts can kind of run away with us.
So catastrophize a situation. How does one catastrophize a situation?
It's like making a mountain out of a molehill is the best way to kind of explain it. So, you know, if like let's say you're at a party and your partner is having a casual conversation with someone of the opposite sex, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a casual conversation, but because you maybe you're insecure or maybe you have some other issues, you blow that out of proportion. You catastrophize it. Now you're making a bigger deal out of it. And all of a sudden, your partner and this other person are having an affair, you know? And so that's what the thought is. And now the behavior is going to be the reaction to those thoughts, you know? So maybe you stonewall your partner after you leave the party, or maybe you escalate the situation, or maybe it becomes volatile. So these are just some of the things that can happen when you're not regulating your emotions.
So when it can become volatile if you're not expressing your emotions?
In some cases, it can become volatile. It really just depends on the interactions between the people. So oftentimes when I have found that when people feel like they're being ignored, right, or if they aren't being made to feel important, then that in turn creates negative feelings, which then in turn creates those negative behaviors. So again, it's like this negative feedback loop that we just keep seeing over and over and over when people aren't able to kind of regulate those negative emotions. And we see that with positive emotions too. You know, you can see that in mania. So when we talk about emotional regulations, at least when I talk about emotional regulations, oftentimes I'm thinking about people who may have personality disorders. We talk a lot about people who are bipolar or who struggle with, you know, those kind of manic episodes where they're highs and lows and highs and lows.
So regulation is sort of keeping that emotional expression in balance, like not like if you're really, really excited about something, like sometimes that can like freak people out. They're like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with that person? They're so excited.
Yeah.
So emotional regulation is the idea that maybe not all people can handle everyone's emotions all the time.
Yeah, I would say that explains it pretty well.
Do you think that that's an overall, like just in your opinion, not in your like therapist cap, do you think that that is a good way to go around living life? Only, and I ask that because I know people that are very, you know, emotional people, and that's part of who they are. And so to say regulate your emotions is like, would be like to me saying, don't be who you are.
Right. I think there's a time and a place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, at the job, right? If you're working, right?
Right.
You're having, you know, you and your, you know, I always come back to the relationships because that's kind of what I do. But let's say that, or let's say you're working and one of your coworkers does something that makes you angry. Maybe it's just something really small. Maybe they took your parking spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were to express yourself in a way that was over the top, let's say, right?
Right.
Like going into the building and like screaming and like getting in somebody's face and escalating the situation, that wouldn't be necessarily appropriate, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think there's a time and a place for everything.
Right.
And so, you know, like I said, when we talk about emotional regulation, it's really about checking in with yourself, right? To see how you're feeling and how those feelings are going to manifest themselves through behaviors and how those are going to affect other people.
If you feel like yelling, what would be the appropriate response?
Well, I think that, you know, the first response is to check in with yourself. Why am I so angry, right? Is it over a party?
So don't yell first.
I would say a deep breath, right?
Okay.
So you take a deep breath. And this is where, you know, the mindfulness practice comes in. You know, I really like mindfulness because it allows you to see where you are in the present, right?
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes what happens with emotions that are... you know, that run away with us is that we're triggered by something, whether it's something from the past or something from the present. We're triggered in some way that makes us, or we choose to react in a really, you know, extreme way. And so mindfulness is about checking in with yourself, like taking a deep breath and finding out, why am I angry? Is it really about this parking spot, or is it that this person has disrespected me over and over and over? And when I feel disrespected, it takes me back to a place where, you know, maybe I didn't feel respected as a kid, or maybe I didn't feel respected in one of my relationships, right?
Right. So it's like looking for a reason to be upset versus just, you know, being present in the moment. Like, what comes to mind is that my roommate was pointing out the other day that when I'm in a mood, we'll say, he notices that, and he said, you know, I'm not the only one, so I feel, this is why I feel okay to share this, because, you know, I'm not the only one, that I look for things to be upset about. You know, like, you're like, or you're gonna in a bad mood, so you're like, this isn't right, and that's not right, and like, so like with your example with the car parking thing, it's like, I might already be running late, and I have this whole thing going on in my mind, so it might be about the person, it might be about the timing, but more than likely it has nothing to do with the parking space, it's just something else to be upset about.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would say, like, people are looking for things to be upset about. I think oftentimes it's unconscious, right? It's not something that we think about, you know? We don't think about, like, wanting to blow up at our roommates,
right?
Which I didn't. Okay.
Well,
it's not something we choose to do oftentimes, right?
Right.
You know, that trigger is that thing that is unconscious, right? Mm-hmm. We don't always know what our triggers are. And so part of the emotional regulation, you know, after, you know, you realize I'm angry, I'm pissed off, right? What is it that's making me feel angry and pissed off, right?
Mm-hmm.
You check in to see, you know, what that trigger was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you can identify for future use that, you know, when I feel disrespected, I am triggered. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of the things that you do to start learning how to regulate your emotions. You know, once you figure out what that trigger is, you can find ways to either accept the trigger. You know, we call it radical acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we can't change. Right.
Right.
And so,
like other people,
absolutely. Right. So instead of forcing change on people, which never works out, right, as you and I both know, you know, we need to learn how to radically accept people for who they are, as well as some situations that we can't change.
Right.
And so oftentimes learning how to accept things as they are really diffuses those negative or volatile emotions.
Right. So if you're just tuning in, this is Love in the 21st Century, and we're talking with Skye Lee about emotional regulation. And if you have a story or a question that you'd like to share on air, give us a call, 895-1114. You can message us on the Facebook page. I will do my best. No guarantees. The phone is much more reliable, 895-1114. So, Sky, what comes to mind is a question that one of my roommates had too before I was leaving for the show. He brought up the difference, like, is there, what's the difference in your opinion of emotionally regulating? So, like, finding what it seems like the appropriate timing, checking in with yourself, and stifling your emotions. Like, just not saying something because it's going to further the argument. But really, you want to, and maybe you're just avoiding it.
Right. So we call that stuffing. You know, when you stuff emotions, you don't actually talk about them. So when we talk about emotional regulation, you know, we're not talking about stuffing. We're not talking about avoiding or ignoring those emotions. We're actually talking about looking at them. And so the difference with stifling, I believe, is how I understand that you're asking, is stuffing it, like avoiding it, not talking about it, ignoring it. And when you do that over a long period of time, it can grow and grow and grow. So my supervisor once told me this metaphor. It's called the gunny sack. And I don't know if you know what a gunny sack is. It's they used to use them, I think, in the Army as backpacks, right? Mm-hmm. And so they call this term is called gunny sacking. So if you're, you know, every day you're going around, you're walking through your day and little things are making you angry and you're sticking them in your gunny sack, right? Mm-hmm. Over time, your gunny sack gets really heavy, right?
Right.
And it gets really full.
Right.
So as you keep stuffing, eventually that gunny sack is just going to explode with all of this emotion, right?
Right.
And so that can potentially be really detrimental, not only to yourself, but to others also.
Right.
And so
I've experienced that.
Yes. I mean, I too have experienced that explosive, you know, either anger,
get away from
feelings.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with the emotional regulation, after we know what our triggers or our red flags look like, we want to find ways to cope internally with those stressors, right?
Absolutely.
And in, you know, in some cases, people lean towards drugs and alcohol. Right. Mm. And so we want to find more healthy mm-hmm. ways to cope with, you know, these feelings that we're talking about. And so I would say, you know, after you're feeling, you know, after you've identified and you want to take a little break to kind of process what you're feeling, you can walk away for a little while, look at that, and then come back and address those feelings with whoever it is that, you know, you've had this interaction with. And because you've calmed down, right, your emotions probably aren't quite as volatile as they were when you were first inside that emotion.
Hopefully. So I had posted on Facebook about this show, and I used a picture of SpongeBob, like with rainbows coming out of his hands. And, you know, I feel like that is sort of like how, when I think of emotional regulation, I think of like how I would like to come off like in really challenging situations. Like, wow, I'm being really triggered right now. And wow, I'm really agitated. And wow, I really wish I could calm down right now, but I can't. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening in this moment. And I need to leave or I need to do something in order to allow that process to happen. Can you talk about like the difference of just being like, you know, sunshines and roses when you're feeling that? Because I feel like that's part of the condition with the stifling. You know, I have that experience of being like, you know, wanting to say something, not saying something, mm-hmm. you know, putting it in the gunny sack, smiling and walking away. And then later, like, not necessarily like really dealing with it because it's just, you know, it's already sort of been avoided, mm-hmm. you know. So what are some something to do in that situation rather than, you know, just be the smile and roses?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd first like to say that I think it's unrealistic for everybody to be happy all the time. You know, anger is an emotion that most people feel at one point in time. And so it's not actually about stifling that emotion, but it's about picking your battles. So measuring whether or not the situation is important enough to you and whoever it is you've had this interaction with for you to address the situation later after you've calmed down, or for you to just put this away for another time. Does that make sense?
Can you say that one more time? Putting it away for
another time.
Right.
So the key, though, is calming down, right? So oftentimes I look at the difference between aggressive communication and assertive communication. And so what we're trying to do with the emotional regulation when you find yourself in a situation where aggression could manifest itself is, calming down enough to be assertive, right? So, excuse me. So, after you and your partner or you and your roommate have gotten into this argument, right? And so you acknowledge that you're getting angry. You've been triggered. You're getting angry. You take a deep breath. You let your partner know, hey, I need to take a time out. I'm going to go outside and take some deep breaths so I can think about this situation. And then come back inside once you've got, that less emotional thinking going on. It doesn't mean that you aren't emotional at all. It just means that you're putting it in a place where you can assertively communicate how you're feeling instead of being aggressive with your feelings.
So what if you take that break and you come back and it's still there? That feeling, that desire to react rather than come from a place of centeredness.
Yeah, I think that's the question, right?
Right.
That's the big question. I don't know if any of our listeners out there would have an answer to that question. But I feel like, if the situation is still heightened, then, you would, again, take a time out. You would go outside and you would do some breathing, right?
Right.
To calm down again. If it's not you who isn't calming down, you could, point out the behaviors that, that boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, or roommate, or whoever are having, right? It's not about blaming. So trying to avoid the you language, but more the I language. So using more nonviolent communication to, express what you're observing. And so I have found in my own experience that that really helps. For instance, recognizing somebody else's tone, right? A lot of times we use tones that, we ourselves don't recognize, but people outside of us do.
Right.
And I know for me, I have a tone. My best friend, my best friend often tells me, can you look at your tone? I really have to stop and look at the tone that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of figure out where that's coming from. And so it takes two or three, depending on who's engaged in the conversation.
Right. And it takes a lot of presence to be aware of your own tone. I was just having a conversation with a little girl recently about that. Like, who really pays attention to their tone? And it's like, yeah, who does really pay attention to their tone? Because it's a world of difference when you're talking to somebody and you want them to comply with what you're asking them to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sharing something with them, if it sounds like a demand, it really is all in your tone of voice. I remember as a little girl when I would say stuff to my dad and he'd say, don't talk to me in that tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, what is that supposed to mean? And so it made me aware, at a younger age about being really aware of my tone. Does that mean that I don't get a tone with people sometimes? No, I absolutely do. But it helps me to bring my awareness to it. It's like I can hear the words coming out of my mouth and I'm just like, oh.
I can't believe I just said that. I wish I could take it back.
I can't believe I said it like that. Like, who wants to listen to that?
Well, and I think that, again, plays really well into the topic of emotional regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes our tone is connected to the feelings that we're having.
Mm.
So if you're able to recognize those feelings
right
before they manifest themselves and are directed at another person, you can change your tone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hopefully. This is all hopeful thinking over here, guys. So this is Love in the 21st Century. We're talking with Sky Lee about emotional regulation. If you have something to share, give us a call, 895-1114. We're going to get some words from Mr. Jim Hightower.
Just when you think that self-delusional right-wing extremists can't get any more delusional, they're now going after Ahmed Mohammed. He's the 14-year-old All-American boy from Irving, Texas, who recently built a homemade clock, proudly taking it to his school to show it off. But rather than being congratulated for ingenuity and craftsmanship, Ahmed was greeted by some so-called adult teachers at MacArthur High School as an Islamic terrorist. In a ridiculous knee-jerk reaction to an American-born inventive boy who just happens to be Muslim, they called in the bomb squad. If someone named Alfred Mulholland had brought the clock to class, he would have been hailed for creativity. Irving police stormed in, arrested Ahmed on criminal charges, handcuffed him, and hauled him and his bomb off to jail. Of course, he was soon released since the bomb was, you know, a clock. But oh gollies, then came the goofballs. Glenn Beck, goofball-in-chief, weighed in to proclaim apocalyptically, "For some reason, Irving is important to Islamists." Generalissimo Beck then asserted that terrorists planted Ahmed there and planned his arrest as a, quote, dog whistle to call in a jihadist invasion. Friends, I've been to Irving. While its mayor is prone to giving anti-Muslim speeches, it is not, I repeat, not a place ISIS would consider a prize worthy of capture. But don't count on reality or any level of common sense to penetrate the dunderheads of Beckensian goofballism. They'll even trample a 14-year-old boy, again, an all-American, smart, enterprising youngster, to serve their grim, fearful political agenda. This is Jim Hightower saying, the Ahmed Mohammeds are our hope for a brighter America. And already, this bright fellow has inadvertently invented a device that exposes Islamophobes. There ought to be a Nobel Prize for that.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is Love in the 21st Century. My name is Tamara, and we are talking with Sky Lee about emotional regulation, and which is sort of finding a balanced medium for the emotions that we may be experiencing at any time. So we're talking about what that is and some tools to be able to do it effectively, because, you know, we all know that emotions come up on a regular basis, and really it's, you know, it can be quite distracting at times. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to focus on something and you're having a strong emotional reaction, I'm thinking about when I'm working or trying to get something done, and all of a sudden it just like irks me the way somebody's talking, and it has nothing to do with really what the person's saying. It's this like emotional reaction or this emotional feeling that's coming up. So Sky's been giving us some good tips on the emotional regulation front, becoming aware of where the emotions are coming from, and then maybe realizing what that trigger is.
Yeah, and so, you know, just to follow off the lack of regulation, so I'm not trying to say that having emotions, expressing emotions, sharing emotions is bad. I think those are fantastic things. Again, I think there's a time and a place for certain things, and I feel like oftentimes we carry around baggage, right, that really interferes with, you know, our relationships that are in the present. And so, and that isn't just about intimate relationships, but it can be work relationships also. So they've done a lot of studies on individuals who lack that emotional regulation. And they have found that a lack of emotional regulation contributes a lot to less concentration. So less concentration at school or at work, driving. So things that you really need to focus on. It also creates really volatile relationships. And so a lot of individuals who have been convicted of battery of partners, like domestic violence or child abuse, have that lack of emotional regulation. So they're not able to regulate their emotions. They have found that bullying, people that bully, have very little emotional regulation. Right. And they have also found that it can really affect your ability to work with others, because emotional regulation isn't only about learning what your emotions are, but being able to identify the emotions of others. So knowing when a coworker is feeling stressed out, or knowing when your partner is upset, and then being able to acknowledge that, and then maybe help them out a little bit, give them some words of encouragement, kind of help lift them up, depending on what that situation is.
Right. That leads me to ask you what you feel is the difference, or like the connection between emotional regulation and emotional intelligence.
Oh, it's huge. So So emotional intelligence is kind of my thing that I think about a lot. It's what I'm doing most of my research on for my senior thesis to graduate. And I, you know, emotional regulation is one of the most important parts of emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is the ability to recognize feelings in ourselves, feelings and emotions in ourselves and in others. And both of them really contribute to the relationships that we have with others and ourselves.
So if you're able to identify somebody else's emotions before they're expressing them or during the time that they're expressing them, then you have a higher emotional intelligence?
I mean, I think it's more than that. It's about, you know, how you navigate through the world, how you navigate through the emotional world, how you, you know, how you manage other people, like if you're in a leadership position. So they've shown through studies that the higher your emotional intelligence is, the better leader you are. Mm. So your ability to recognize when you're the people that are, you know, that are working under you, when they're feeling stressed out, when they're feeling upset, you know, those kind of things. They've found that the higher your emotional intelligence is and the better you are able at recognizing how other people are feeling, mm-hmm. that you can mitigate situations so that they're happier at work, so your productivity increases, so that everybody's happy and you're in essence a better leader.
Is there a way that one could find out what their emotional intelligence is?
Yeah, there's a emotional intelligence exam test survey you can find online. It's called the EQ.
I'll look it up right now.
Yeah, you can actually take that. I think that there are some more validated studies that are harder to access. And one of the reasons that I got interested in emotional regulation and emotional intelligence is because I work with individuals who've been mandated by the courts to participate in counseling for domestic violence and child abuse. And so I really look at, how emotional intelligence relates to the, to abuse in relationships.
So to give you all some tasters here of what the emotional intelligence quiz looks like, the first question is, I do not become defensive when criticized. Strongly disagree, neither agree or disagree, agree, and strongly agree. You know, I would have to say that depends on who's criticizing me.
Well, exactly. So it would depend on who's triggering you, right?
Right.
So if it's somebody that you really care about and they criticize you in some way, it could bring you back to a place where your dad used to criticize you or your mom used to criticize you or an ex-partner used to criticize you. And so that would engage that really negative emotion.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up because I think for me, in my experience, in my life experience, that I haven't easier ability to be less affected by people that are in my mind, you know, less close to me than others. So when somebody that's in my family or in my immediate circle or someone that's living in my house says something to me, it's like they have like penetrated this invisible force field and have gone like right to the jugular. And it's not that they've said anything different to me than, you know, maybe somebody has said to me when I was organizing an event or has said to me in passing. You know, it's not like their aim is to go straight to the jugular. But for whatever reason, that's how it feels because they have been able to get, you know, I've allowed them closer access, if you will. I'm not really sure. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why that happens with people that we're closer to versus
strangers,
or not even necessarily strangers, just people that are less close?
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to your family of origin, right? So when we talk about our families, mm-hmm. right, what are the emotions? I mean, like, so if you take people that you aren't very close with, and you take your family, and you look at the degrees of connectedness, mm-hmm. right? Who do you think has more connectedness?
Family.
Right, and so who do you think you care about, in like how they think of you?
Right.
Right? It's most likely going to be people that you really care about.
Right. And it's interesting, though, because when we're talking about this, what's coming to mind is, you know, past arguments I've had throughout my dating relationships and how, you know, the response usually is when we finally get to a place of being able to talk about it is, well, don't you think that I'm on your team? Like, you know, like that, the quick to be so, to feel so affected by the people that are so close to us. Yet those are the people that are generally the ones that are most supporting us. So it's kind of this like paradox, contradictory experience that it's like, I've let you in and now your words mean more to me than most words. But I take them, you know, to mean that, you know, heavier on the negative side than I do on the positive side, when really that reason that person's around in your life is because they want to support you.
Yes.
So it's quite the paradox.
It is quite the paradox.
So are you going to share with us, Skye, some other tips and suggestions for when we are having these really strong emotional reactions? Because, you know, I mean, inevitably, like I said, it's easier to do with people that are less close to you to pull away. But I think when you're in these more challenging situations and sharing space with people and working with people, and you know, the settings get more and more intimate. So the more tools we can have, get out your pens and papers, people, like write these things down, the better off we're going to be in terms of communicating what we actually need.
Yeah, so there's an acronym that I really like. It's called, STOPP, S-T-O-P-P. And the S stands for stop, don't act immediately.
Stop, don't act immediately. That can be a really challenging one, I'm going to say. Like, sometimes it just feels like the impulse is beyond your control, but I appreciate the support.
Right, and so what follows right on the tail end of that, which will allow you to stop, is take a deep breath. Right. So when you start to feel yourself escalating, right, you're starting to get really angry.
Mm-hmm.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, I notice. I stop breathing when I get angry. It's like I'm like holding my breath. Like I'm ready. Like
me too.
That just like it's so funny because it's so, again, another paradox. Like if you stop breathing, you're gonna pass out.
Right. Well, So and again, it's one of those weird things, right? It's just that weird reaction that we have to the anger. You know, for me, it's like I just stop breathing because I don't want to take that in.
Right.
You know. So after you've you don't act immediately. So and then you take a deep breath. It's time to observe. So it's time to ask yourself, what am I thinking right now in this present moment? Right.
Right.
So let's say you're angry because you've been criticized by your partner, right?
Mm-hmm. So perceived, maybe.
Right. Perceived, so maybe perceived. But you've perceived that in some way this person is criticizing you, right? So it's about observing where that thought is coming from, right? Or where that trigger is, right? So I realize that maybe my partner isn't criticizing me. Maybe they're just asking me to do something differently, right? And so it's not about you doing something wrong, like you've been told when you were a kid, right? It's about trying something new.
Right.
Right. So after you've observed what you're thinking, right, and how you're acting, you know, for me, when I got used, not so much anymore, and if my brother were in the country, you could ask him how valid this is. When I was angry, I used to slam cabinets, right? I was a cabinet slammer.
I know some cabinet slammers.
Yeah, it's not only horrible on your house, but, you know, it definitely stirs up some negative juju. And so for me, when I started working on my anger issues, that was me stopping, taking a deep breath, and observing what I was doing right now. I'm slamming the cabinets, right?
Right.
And so after that, you know, it's time to pull back and look at the whole picture, right? What's the whole picture going on here, right? Is it that I'm, you know, that my partner is criticizing, or am I taking things personally, or how am I feeling right now? What is the context of this situation? You know, what am I doing? What are they doing? So looking at the whole picture instead of having that tunnel vision,
right?
Which often happens when you're feeling overwhelmed with emotion, right? We tend to just pinpoint on one thing, whether it's anxiety or whether it's fear or whether it's sadness or whether it's anger.
Right.
Right. And so pulling back to look at the big picture is really important when we're talking about trying to react differently to a situation.
Right.
Right. And so the last P is the most important part, because as you said earlier, stopping is oftentimes very difficult. Remembering to take that breath is very oftentimes very difficult. The last P is for practice. Right. So it's not that these things happen like the snap of a finger. Right. It comes with practice, just like anything, you know, that we do and we want to do well. We practice it.
What was the last P?
Practice your skills.
No, the P before that.
Oh, pull back.
Pull back.
So zoom out and look at the big picture.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So.
And sometimes that process could take a while.
Like, it can.
Because, you know, I'm thinking about my own personal experience, you know, stopping, taking a breath, observing what's really going on, and pulling back. Like, that can take a while. And, like, one of the things I feel like for myself and utilizing this practice that has taken a while to really implement is the timing factor. Like, mm-hmm. immediate gratification. Let's get over this. Let's move on. Like, let's just figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like,
That problem solving.
The desire to just get back to where it was before. I have had to, like, pull back from that, mm-hmm. you know, of knowing that, you know, it's going to work out however it's going to work out. Mm-hmm. And me forcing the situation isn't necessarily going to make it better. And mm-hmm. it brings me back to something that you mentioned before, and I want you to see if you can clarify a little bit more, which is the assertive versus the aggressive. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think that there can be a thin line between assertive and aggressive. You know, obviously there's aggression, it's really extreme, but the perceived idea of what is assertive and aggressive. And so maybe you can share a little bit about that. Like, how are those two things different in dealing with your emotions?
Yeah, so aggression is when we use our bodies or our voice to create fear in another person to try and get them to do something.
Mm, right? Okay.
And so assertiveness is using your voice, your tone, your body in a way that does not create fear for somebody and asking them, you know, to do something for you or letting them know what your needs are,
right?
You know, so if you take into, let's talk about a kid, right? If a kid wants a toy and they start screaming aggressively, right, which makes you feel embarrassed because you're in the middle of a store, which then, like, creates fear that you're going to get kicked out of the store,
mm-hmm.
how likely are you to give this kid this toy?
Right.
Probably not very likely, right?
Right. I guess it depends on the parents.
Right. Yeah. Depends on the parents. But if this kid is more assertive and says, hey, you know, I cleaned my room this past week and I really want this, you know, stuffed bear,
mm-hmm.
you're more likely to
cooperate.
Mm-hmm. And the same could be said with adult relationships. If your partner is aggressive towards you and is using intimidation to scare you into doing something, how likely are you going to go into that in a mindful, happy, pleasant way?
Right.
You know, whereas if your partner says, you know, hey, trying to think of an example, you know, I feel hurt when I believe that you are, you know, flirting with other women. It makes me feel like you don't love me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Although I would try not to use the U word, but mm-hmm. sometimes it just slips out.
Right.
But so being more assertive in your communication than being more aggressive.
Right. So what comes to mind for me with that is talking about assertive and aggressive and, like, the perceived idea of assertive versus aggressive. You know, we live in a society that's not very assertive. I feel like we're very passive people in general. I
totally.
May not be one of those, and you may not be either. But, you know, we live in a society that to speak up for yourself and to say what you need or to say how you're feeling can be taken as being aggressive. And so we've been talking about, like, the, the regulation of emotions. I feel like more emphasizing on, like, the anger aspect, like when we get angry, because it's definitely oftentimes when we really think we need the most emotional regulation. At least that's when I think I need the most emotional regulation. But what about in sadness? Because I feel like what can be triggered by somebody stating their needs, and I speak for myself as well in this situation, is it feel like I have this, like, jarring emotional reaction to feel sad and to feel, you know, this a sadness, you know. So I'm wondering how emotional regulation works with that.
Well, I think that if you know where your emotions are coming from, you're more able to find compassion, to find understanding,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, like I said, sometimes when we're feeling these extreme emotions, we don't always see clearly. Things mm-hmm. get distorted.
Right.
And so when you can see clearly, I believe that you can find more compassion and understanding, which allows you to be more kind and assertive with your needs, or, you know, expressing your desires to other people, asking what you want.
Right. So this would be, so you would say that the same practice, that same stop practice would work effectively for whether you're having like a sadness, you know, episode, mm-hmm. or an outburst about something, that using that same method would be useful.
Yeah. So I can give you an example. You know, when I start to feel extreme emotions, I do what I call, I talk myself down, right?
De-escalation.
So I ask myself, is what I'm feeling real? Or is it something that is I'm making up in my head?
Right.
Right. And so that really works for me.
Can you usually decide that?
These days it works because right. I've been practicing. You know, there was a time when they didn't work. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, you know, I can think about, if for instance, a friend of mine is experiencing sadness, extreme sadness, right? And they're always sad, and this person and I are very close. I have to think about, you know, is it something that I'm doing that's making them sad? And is that realistic?
Right.
Right. Did I do something? Well, no, I didn't do anything. So it's not about me. Right. And once I can understand that it's not about me, I'm able to look at this person with more compassion and understanding. Right. Where I may be able to give them what they need, even though they can't ask for it.
Right. So being able to come from a place of compassion when you're having these emotional outbursts of any sort is going to be a really good general place to come from. And I'm wondering how this all kind of, like, you know, we're talking about, in my opinion, generally, you know, people that are generally have an interest or concern in expressing their emotions, mm-hmm. like have a general desire to emotionally regulate. So if you have the time, presence, and patience to, like, take a deep breath, evaluate where you're coming from, and are able to communicate that in an effective way, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. However, that's not always the reality of a lot of relationships.
That's true.
And so how does one introduce this concept if they're listening to this show for the first time and they want to learn more about emotional regulation? How do they introduce this to, you know, their partner or whoever they might be wanting to use this with, one? And two, what about those relationships that just, like, you know, that go beyond like emotional regulation, that you're really heading into the territory of a violent relationship?
You know, I think that, you know, dealing with violent relationships is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I would be able to speak to that right now, but, you know, talking about how to present the emotional regulation is a topic for your partner. You know, potentially talking about wanting to feel more connected, right? When we fight, I believe that we're not as close as when we aren't fighting. And so, you know, here are some ways that we can work together to find more connectedness through, you know, regulating these extreme emotions that we both have.
Right.
Right. So I think that that's potentially one way to kind of introduce that. you know, I feel like as far as those potentially volatile relationships, you know, that's a whole other ball game in and of itself.
Right. I'm wondering, though, I guess, do you feel that bringing up emotional regulation or bringing up some techniques would be the best approach? Or maybe if you feel like you're already in that situation, if there's another road? Because I think that the reason that question comes to mind for me is I think that sometimes we think we can fix something, mm-hmm. by, like, some, you know, some informative information that we hear or learn about, but we don't actually know that that is not what's going to help the situation.
Right.
So I'm wondering if maybe we've been giving tips out for people that are in the desire of, you know, figuring out a way, mm-hmm. to be more emotionally regulated. What if you've been wanting that and you're listening to this and you're hoping that this is, you know, the ticket for you and your relationship? But maybe I'm wondering if you could recommend some other resources, I guess, for looking into that.
Yeah, go see a therapist. No. So there, there's a treatment called dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT, that really works with the mindfulness and the emotional regulation. You can actually find a lot of information about DBT online.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really encourage people to check that out. Mindfulness in and of itself is a really important tool for regulating your emotions, mm-hmm. And your behaviors. I think that oftentimes keeping a journal of how you're feeling when you have these extreme emotions is really enlightening. And so I think that once you bring the emotions into the present and you're able to really look at them, you're able to create change.
Absolutely.
Another option that you have as far as, trying to create change is looking at your environment, right? Looking at the situation and then looking at your reactions. You know, if you go into an environment that's always making you pissed off, then maybe you need to make some changes in your life.
Because maybe there's something externally that is consistently triggering you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have the control to choose, most cases, you know, not necessarily children or people that are dependent on others, but in most cases have the power to choose if we continue to put ourselves in that situation. So if it is something that's emotionally challenging you, you get to decide. And I think it's a really bold and powerful place to be in. Like, talking about your emotions is not easy.
Mm-mm.
You know, I can say that firsthand, that it can be really difficult to own up and be like, you know, I'm feeling this because of some other, you know, past issue that I have going on, and it really has nothing to do with you. And it's a really vulnerable place to be in. And, you know, sometimes you get met with reactions that are less than what you were hoping. And then the desire to emotionally regulate is totally out the window, because you get into this, you know, well, I'm in a vulnerable place. But just taking that first step to own your emotions and be able to express them in a clear and a compassionate way is going to get you a lot further, not only in your like personal relationships, but just like you were saying, emotional intelligence related to leadership. It's going to get you further in life, because people are going to be able to know that they can say things to you and can share things with you that might be a little bit challenging at times, because you'll take it in stride.
Right. So part of the emotional regulation is learning how to not take things personally.
That's so good that you say that, because I have a short little video for here at the end of the show. It was as promised, I just said I was going to share something from Sonica and Christian on their YouTube channel, which is taking things personally in relationship. So we'll hear, you know, in a few minutes we'll get that started, but that's such a perfect transition there in terms of what to do. So Sonica and Christian were on the show last week talking about Love Works For You, a relationship training program that they offer. They offer weekend retreats. If you're in the Grass Valley area, I believe this week, if you look it up on Google, the Love Works For You website, they have another like 2.5 hour intro workshop that they offer for free. And it's some really good, useful stuff. You know, there were people in there. It was a full room. There was 40 people in that room. And there have been people that have been married for years and years. And you could tell by the looks on their faces that they really felt like this was something that was going to help for their relationships. You know, for somebody like myself that hasn't had that long of a relationship, it was like, oh yeah, these things would be useful. But to imagine being in a relationship where you really haven't expressed your emotions for who knows how long, you know, decades to someone that you love, then like this seems like a really amazing resource. They look like two genuinely happy people that are in love and still married. So that's Love Works For You, and we'll get them playing here in just a minute. Thank you so much, Skyly, for joining me and talking about emotional regulation. Obviously, that was just a taste of what emotional regulation is about. If people are interested, do you have any good resources that they might look into for emotional regulation?
Yeah, I would just say Google it. It's all over the internet, really. Looking at the DBT, or the dialectical behavior therapy, is another really good way to get insight into emotional regulation. The mindfulness piece, again, is a really good way to get more information on, becoming aware of your feelings, your triggers.
So, yes, emotional regulation. Check it out. And, you know, I'm probably going to go home and check out this emotional intelligence quiz, because it's kind of interesting to just some of the questions and to see where I'm at. Like, can I stay calm under pressure? And again, these are things that maybe, you know, vary from time to time, but you're obviously answering to the best of your ability. And so if it's something that interests you, I mean, emotions are everywhere in all of our lives. So it's a good thing to think about from time to time.
Yes, I agree. Big fan.
Absolutely. So we are going to be ending the show here, and we'll be on next Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Next up is Ecotopia with Steve and Susan, I believe. And I want to share with you an event that's coming up. It is a Live True, a local nonprofit here in our community event. It's called Between Worlds. It's a art show for Ilya Baronikov, and it is a fundraiser for both Live True and for Blue Oak Charter School. We'll be learning more about the community profit, that how the nonprofit helps to enhance the community through local projects that individuals are creating to make a difference in our wonderful, amazing community that is Chico. And before I start this video from Sonica and Christian, I want to share with you something that I read off the wall here at KZFR, and I just think it really, you know, it brings another connection to why this show is so close to my heart. It's something written by Pete Seeger in June of 2008. The agricultural revolution took thousands of years. The industrial revolution took hundreds of years. The information revolution is only taking decades. If we use it and use the brains God gave us, we can have the peaceful revolution, one of its many names, with great thinkers throughout history have said must come. We will stop growing in size and grow in generosity, in common sense, in ability to communicate with people we disagree with. And then he signed it, long live radio station KZFR and stations like it around the world. So, yeah, here to having us communicate more effectively with each other so that we can have a more fulfilling life. Here is Sonica and Christian. Okay, it's going to take a minute to load. It's not loading. Sorry, folks. Some other events. There's a great band at Lawson, Maine that's going to be playing. They were supposed to be interviewed here at KZFR today.
Hi, welcome.
And so go check them out. I'm not sure who they are. Sorry, guys, but you should go to Lawson, Maine if you're not doing anything tonight. Here is Taking Things Personally in relationship with Sonica and Christian.
Hi, welcome. My name is Sonica, and this is my husband, Christian. We'd like to welcome you to our home.
Today, we're going to be talking about taking things personally or not.
And here's an example. You know, I notice I'm really pissed off you got out of bed early this morning instead of hanging out and snuggling with me and having a great conversation with me. I really wanted to tell you what happened yesterday.
So, right now, I have two choices. Here's one of them. I didn't know you wanted that. I just did what I always do. You hadn't told me anything about you wanting that. How was I supposed to know? There is another choice, and this is what actually took place a couple of days ago.
You know, I noticed I'm really pissed off that you got out of bed right away this morning instead of taking time to snuggle and hear about my incredible time yesterday. You know, and I'm actually aware that I didn't know I wanted that until I didn't get it, or I would have asked for it.
Oh, so what do you really want? What do you want?
I really still want to tell you about what happened yesterday. I want to have some time just uninterrupted to be together and talk.
Well, how about we do that now?
I would love that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So when she shared that with me, there was no need for me to take it personally because I knew that she was just sharing something about herself. She was not making a statement about me.
It's an issue that we see happens for a lot of people in a relationship where you assume when your partner is telling you something they don't like or they don't want, you have a tendency to take it personally, to think that they're telling you something about you. We make a distinction. The event equals the event, not the event equals something about me.
Sonica's telling me she's disappointed and angry equals Sonica telling me she's disappointed and angry. Nothing more, nothing less.
It also helped that I took responsibility for not asking for what I wanted and not putting it on him. And if I had done that or he had taken it personally, that interaction could have turned into a big fight rather than an opportunity for us to really hang out and be intimate and connected with each other.
So next time you encounter a situation like this where your partner says something that you could interpret as having something to do with you, instead try to be curious about what he or she really wants. Ask, oh, What did you really want?
Assume they're telling you something about them.
Yes. Blessings to you all.
Yes, blessings.